This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with 2010 London Symposium. Proposition: learning introspection. How do we learn introspection? Where does introspection come from? We say introspection comes from inside. 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 Are we all one? Is everything totally one? Are we separated as a mind? We can set a mind over here and set a heart over here. That doesn't work, does it? It's got to be together to work. Because that's who we are. We are one single thing. One wonderful single thing. Now, how do we get within? How do we go within? How do we find out what's going on within us? It's a very fascinating thing to find out what's going on within us, but how do we find it out? How do we do that? How do we learn to go within and be part of that within and know what's going on within us? How do we do that? Well, we say, be still. And that's a good way. But I say a better way. You know what I say? To find out how to go within, get excited. Now, when Abel Bay works on his Nintendo programs, he is excited. He just flips around here and he goes here and there, and there's instruction that comes up on the screen, and the instruction says, do this and do that. Well, he doesn't read that. He just presses the buttons. And after a few times of going through the game, he's figured it out, because intuitively he knows. He knows intuitively. Now, the next time he plays the game, after playing it for about six times, the next time he plays the game, he doesn't have to think about the instructions. He just presses the button. He says, oh yes, I didn't want that guy to do that. I wanted him to do this. So he presses another button because he knows exactly what. He intuitively knows what to do. He has trained himself by experience to listen within, to know within. Now, is there some voice inside of him telling him, Evil Bay, do this, Evil Bay, do that? Is there some voice telling him to do that? No. It's an inner knowing. His whole being says, do this. His whole being says, this is where it's at. That's introspection. That's introspection where you are just one totally with what it is that you want to do. And you don't know what you want to do. You really don't know. Now, we're talking about Evil Bay, and we're talking about his Nintendo game. We're talking about the simple little thing that goes out to thousands and millions and millions and millions of people all around the world. Millions of these kids are working on this learning introspection. Now, do they know they're learning introspection? No. If Mama told you they're learning introspection, what would they say? Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to learn something. I don't want... But they are. And this is what we... You and I are each doing all the time. We're learning introspection, and we're learning introspection the very simple way, by participation. Now, we take Sybil here, and she's working in the kitchen, and she comes to the stove, and as she gets close to the stove, she feels it's warm. Now, does she put her hand down top of the burner? No. Intuitively, introspectively, you know not to do that. Now, at an earlier time, when you just came blundering into the kitchen, you never saw a kitchen in your life. You were an Eskimo up in Alaska, and you never saw a kitchen. Everything was cold. And so you put your hand on that thing, just walking in. Ouch! You know, what's that? What's that? That's hot, you know. And pretty soon you learn that that's hot. Pretty soon you learn intuitively that when you see something that's red, you say to yourself, whoops, that's something you got to think about a little bit. Well, now, you are creating yourself to be an intuitive person. You're creating yourself to be a psychic person, a sensitive person, a person who knows their universe, knows their world. Now, the big thing that we want to come to the point of is how can we be aware of this and use it to our benefit. Now, to be aware of a hot stove is good. You don't burn yourself. But to be aware of the divine within you, all knowledge within you, to be aware of all wisdom within you, understanding the capacity to do anything you want to do. That's a whole new thing. That's a whole new thing. And because it's a whole new thing, what happens? Because it's a whole new thing, it just has to be looked at from a totally different perspective. Now, how are you going to look at your life now from a totally different perspective? How are you going to be looking at your life from a total different awareness? Now, I told you the story about the ministers looking at pornographic films, and after a while they became so accustomed to it they thought that nothing was really pornographic. Everything was just okay. It's just not so bad. And this is what stealing, when children are allowed to steal, they pretty soon it's not bad, and they go on to bigger things, you know. And unfortunately, you look at Nintendo games and people are beating each other up and killing each other and knocking each other down. Well, they're not really killing each other. They're not really beating each other up. They're just sort of an action there. You don't put inside of that a person. Now, when you put inside of that a person, some individual, then you're getting yourself into trouble. But meanwhile, that can be disruptive. Would it be wiser if parents were able to teach their children to be intuitive, to listen within, to go to the center of their own being and be aware of their own divinity and be aware of their own allness, rather than you do it through these mechanical games? Well, the mechanical games are merely something for us to understand. They're something for us to be aware of. They're not bad and they're not good. But when we... Are you going to take the Nintendo game and play it? No. You're not going to take that. It's not your thing. And it's really not his thing. But it's his thing because it's a toy. And it's part of what comes along with the toy. And so he's learning it. Now, if we could create toys that have people going to the great wizard and having the wizard say, "What do you do?" And he says, "Well, I listen within. And I take my first thought." And, "Well, how do you take your first thought? How do you learn how to take your first thought?" And the great wizard says, "Well, I am a beginner. You are the great wizard. That's why you're here. You tell me how you take your first thought. You tell me how you do that." And so the game has you being the wizard, having you telling yourself what to do. And so I'm telling you now what to do as a great wizard. And so I am now this wonderful being. Now, what am I going to do? Am I going to take my own inner understanding and tell you that? You bet. Now you see, Shoma, that's going to be your next task, to create a game for Nintendo where you are the wizard. Now maybe there are some games like that. Maybe there are some games in Nintendo where you are the great wizard and you are the one who is guiding and leading and uplifting people in consciousness. Why not? Why not? You, Shoma, Miss Fantastic, your son comes up and says, "Mommy, what should I do?" "Well, dear, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this." "But, Mommy, I don't want to do that." "Well, what do you want to do?" "No, you can't do that, you can't do that." And so, now, Miss Fantastic, Shoma, she's raised by Sibyl, Miss Super Fantastic. And so, Sibyl says, "Shoma, what do you think we should do here? Shoma, how do you think we should handle this?" "But Mama, you're older and wiser. You should tell me what to do." "No, Shoma, you tell me. What do you think we should do?" Now, you know what to do, and you'd like to tell her what to do. You'd like to tell her where to go in, but you don't, because you are a mother and a loving teacher, and you are saying, "Shoma, what do you think we should do?" And pretty soon, Shoma comes up with the answer of what she thinks we should do. And when she comes up with that answer, what's she doing? She's listening within. She's being intuitive. She may not realize she's being intuitive. She just, "Well, let's see what, I guess this is what I do. This is how I would think about it." And it's a right thing to do. It's a right way to do it. And when she does that, what happens? When she does that, she gets her first step into her intuitive awareness. And then the more you don't challenge her, but the more you encourage her, you're challenging her really, but you're encouraging her to be intuitive, the more intuitive she's going to be in every area of her life. And as you work on this intuitiveness, you're not learning from your mom that you're working intuitive, you know. You'd say, what's that all about, you know? But you see, your mother, being the wizard, knows really how to do that. Now you, silly, wonderful lady, you have become the wizard with him. And you say to him, all right, Ibuve, what do you think we should do? How do you think we should handle this? What do you think we should do about eating our meals so that we get the right type of food in us all the time? What do you think we should do? And Ibuve said, well, I think, Mom, the best answer is that we should eat more ice cream. And you say, well, Ibuve, I think that's a good idea. Now, in Samantha, you remember Samantha? In Samantha, what did she do? She had this nanny that came in, and this nanny was taking care of Tabitha, the baby, and Tabitha was supposed to eat her spinach and her other things. And the nanny came in, and she says, oh, who? She eats this two kids. And she snapped her finger, and the spinach and the other things that people didn't really want to eat at that moment turned into wonderful ice cream. But it was still the spinach. But it looked like the ice cream, it tasted like the ice cream, but it was really the spinach, you know? And so this is how she handled that situation. And then later on, I don't know how she weaned her away from the ice cream to the real spinach, but she did. But you see, the point is, you can do these magical things. You can do these wonderful things. What does he see? Your son, your student, your child, your whatever, sees whatever it is you think they see and how you think they see it. And if you tell your child, this is beautiful ice cream, they'll say, what's wrong with you, you know. But the thing is, taste it, this is wonderful. Oh, this is wonderful ice cream. And pretty soon, they will have that image. Why do people smoke cigarettes, which are stupid? You know, you smoke cigarettes, they don't taste good. They're not charming, they're not delightful, but because your peers do it, because people around you do it because of society. Why do you drink alcohol? Stupid alcohol, it doesn't taste good at all. You drink a beer, and a beer is not delicious, but a beer is delicious because of the company you're keeping it in, and because of your circumstances, and then how do you feel afterwards? You feel a little lightheaded, you know? Hey, that's kind of cool, you know? But you see, you're learning bad habits. Because you're learning them as your peers are learning them, as your company is learning it. Now, how do you find your own introspection? How do you teach? How can you be the master, the genius that are sharing with the world how they can find their introspection? What's the best way to find your introspection? And what's the best way to help anybody else in this world? Is by being it yourself. If you are a good leader, you'll have good followers. If you're a rotten leader, if you can't hold a cup of water, you know, your followers won't be able to do it. Your followers will only be as good as you are. And then after a while, you don't even care about your followers. Because you just are you. You just are the person that you are. You intuitively listen to your own drummer, your own drum beat. See, that drum beat, that drummer that you're listening to, that's your intuition. That's your inner self. That's your inner program. Intuition is not so difficult, or introspection is not so difficult as we think it is, but it's only difficult because we think it's difficult. Because we think it is something unusual. We think it's something that nobody else has ever experienced, that nobody else is doing, that people are not being intuitive. You're not being intuitive about this at all. Oh, yes, I am. I know what I want. I want this experience. Well, who would want that experience? Well, because my buddies are having it. Because my mama said I shouldn't do it. I want that experience. I want to do anything that I can go against the rules. Well, change the rules. Change the rules, sure. Sure. Instead of saying, I don't want something, and have that be important, say, I am. I am. I am intelligent. I am wise. I am knowledgeable. I know all things. I know it. I know it. And the more you go around acting like this here, I know it, I know it, I know it, the more you'll be that way. Because it just is a building up in consciousness of that very thing. It's building up that introspection, that inner understanding of who you are. Now, do you think that Ibu Bay here, 7 years old, is introspective? Very much so.
Yeah.
I would say if there was a scale, you know, 100%, 1 to 100 of introspection, he comes into the late 90s. You know, he's going right into the top. That's where he lives. He lives in introspection. Now it's a matter of having him train his introspection to be in the areas that are beneficial to him. You know, that he is intelligent, that he is wise, that he is a genius, that he is magic, you know, that he can wiggle his nose. That he can do all this, and he can. And you do too. And with his smile on his face, he looks like a fantastic little master. Yes. No. Is that a joke? No, that's not a joke. Is it real?
Yes.
Okay. If it's real, why don't we practice it? Why don't we practice it? Why don't we just say to ourselves, this is where it's at. This is where it's happening. This is our introspection. Now, do you think that Ibu Bay is ever going to benefit from this? Now, we talked with O.K. yesterday, and O.K. is a neat guy. And we were saying to O.K., what do you think about this? And he was saying, well, I listen to your tapes all the time. I've got them on half the time. I'm listening to them. Every single day I listen to it 3 or 4 times, and I can't stop listening. I want to listen to all of them at the same time because I want to hear them all because they're kind of nice, and I can't stop listening. Now, you talk to him under normal circumstances, not about the programs that he's listening to, and he wouldn't say he's listening to anything. He would just say he's doing these things. Now, again and again and again, you listen to and we watch pornographic material, and pretty soon it's yours. Pretty soon it's yours. You listen to positive discussions, positive tapes, positive awareness of yourself or of the tape, which says, I'm a genius, I'm God, I'm leader of my pack, you know, I'm fantastic, I'm a glorious person, I'm beautiful, you know, I'm healthy, I'm wise, I'm well, I'm rich, all these nice things, and that happens. But if you're going to go around saying, I wish I were, you know, then you're telling yourself, it's just a wish, and it's not going to be, it can't be, it cannot be, because it just cannot be. You have not put the cause in motion for it. You have not introspected. You have not made that your introspection. And when your introspection is that you are the winner, when your introspection is that you are in charge of your life, you are the one who has set all these causes in motion for yourself, when you set that for your introspection, then what happens? It's yours. Totally yours. Totally yours. Nothing more, nothing less. Totally yours. Now, when it's totally yours, then what do you have to do? Why did Jesus, this guy, Jesus, you know, why did Jesus say to people when they came to him, what do you want from me? What do you want? You're the wise person. Somebody comes in and talks to you, and you say, what do you want? Well, I want to be wise. And you say, well, you are wise. But no, I want to be wise like you. Well, you can't be wise like me, because I'm me and you're you. But you want to be wise like you. Now, what does that mean to be wise like you? Well, I don't know. What does it mean to be wise like you? They say to the wizard. And the wizard says, I don't know. I'm just me. I'm just being myself and having fun. I like me. I'm enjoying who I am. And you say, well, I'd like to enjoy who I am, I'd like to be who I am. Well, then do things that you enjoy. What do you enjoy doing? Do you enjoy writing a book, reading a book? Do you enjoy working on your Nintendo? Hey? Yes, oh yes, a big head shake, yes there. I like that. I like that. How would you like to have a bigger Nintendo? No, you wouldn't. Because the little one you can carry with you anywhere. The big one you can't carry around too well. That one you could play with at home, the big one. Yeah, you have it on your table here. Nice big one. Oh boy. Oh, would he have a ball? Wouldn't you? And hey, how could I get it on a big screen up on the wall? Oh, yes. Wouldn't that be fun? My goodness, it's bigger than life size. But you see now, is that stupid?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, that is where his thinking is at the moment. That is where his love is at the moment. Now, you, yes, that's your love you're sitting on, isn't it? Your mummy. But you see, that's what happens to us. We sometimes lose sight of these things and we think they're bad, but they're very good. They're very good. Now, what are you going to do about it? You raised three children, right? You did, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, thank you. You might say yes. You know, I'm saying it right to your face. You raised three children, didn't you? Yes, ma'am. Okay, now, did you have Nintendos for them? No, you didn't. Did you have all sorts of electronic gadgets for them?
No,
you didn't have for yourself, you know. Did you have all what this modern century has for them?
No.
You lived in a different time. Now, what did you give to your children?
No.
You gave them yourself. You gave them your own stoic self to a degree where you are absolutely content with yourself and you're a master of yourself and things didn't disturb you. Lots of things went on in your world that would shake a lot of people, but they didn't bother you because you said, what is that to me? Puff, 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 puff. You know? And are people going to hurt me? Hurt me? Whoever had the idea that anybody in this world was going to hurt somebody else, you know? Who had that idea? And so, did you turn on the television? Did you watch it and sit there for hours glued with your eyes to the tube there to watch whatever happened to come along? No. No, you had other things to do. You had things around the house to do. You had things with your children to do. You had things with your husband to do. You had things with your world to do. You just were involved in all sorts of stuff. And then when I came to your house one time, I said, we don't turn the television on in our house. We don't have the outer TV. We'll watch a video now and then, but we don't have the outer TV on at all. And so you turned off the outer TV. And now, what was that? How could she turn off the outer TV? Because it wasn't important to her in the first place, you see? It wasn't something that she was bugged with, that she was glued to, that she needed in the first place. Now, did she teach this to her children? She has three children. I got five fingers up here, but she got three children. Now, every one of those children is good for nothing. Every one of them. Every one of them. Because they are not television watchers, you know? They'll see it now and then, but they're not sitting there glued to the TV all the time. They're not people who are wasting their time on things that are not of interest to them. They're constantly involving themselves. What each of your children has learned to do, and this is true, which is what you have learned to do, each of your children has learned to absolutely concentrate on whatever it is they're working on and be a master of it. Each of them has been able to take any subject they wanted to and learn that subject like a snap. Because they're able to intuitively be aware of it and listen to it and concentrate on it 100% and then go and do it. They don't have to struggle through it. They don't have to study over the weekends and they don't have to do all sorts of things because they, at the moment they're learning it, they give it 100% of their attention and it's a snap. And then they have another little problem, which is the problem that you gave them. You gave them this problem, Sibyl. And you know what that problem is?
And the solution.
Hmm?
And the solution.
You're not listening to me. I'm talking. You gave them this problem. The problem is they see all of the world as beautiful and good. They see everybody in this world as loving and wonderful. They see themselves as beautiful, desirable people, that everybody enjoys their company. They do not see themselves as less than beautiful and less than wonderful and less than good. That's how you see yourself, right? Now, where did you get that? Well, that just came because of the package you came with, right? No, that came from something else. That came from your intuitiveness, your inner awareness of who you are. And your inner awareness of who you are came from your early training, your early awareness. Now, your mother didn't discourage you from listening within. Your mother encouraged you. Your dad encouraged you. Your family encouraged you. Being intuitively wise was something natural in your family. Isn't that terrible? Every family should have that wonderful blessing, huh? Of being intuitively aware. Some families we read about, they say, I don't know, I don't have. This world's going to hell. Everything is bad. Look at the wars, look at this. And they look at the negative, and then they wonder why the negative is in their life. Now, you have taught them to look at the positive. Really, they did. I mean, your mother and dad did teach you to do these things, otherwise you wouldn't have this pure attitude that you do. Your attitude is an untouched attitude. It's an attitude where you're just totally not aware that bad things are going on in this world, because they're not, as far as you're concerned. And they never will be. And of course, this is what it's all about for you. They never will go on in your world, because all of your life you have been trained that you are a beautiful being. You are an intelligent being. You are the kind of person that always follows your heart. Now, that doesn't mean along the way you're going to try a few paths that are not beneficial for you. That doesn't mean that along the way you might stick your foot in some very cold water or very hot water and say, whoops, no, you know. But the thing is, you're going to know what to do about it. And if truth is known, and there were five circumstances, and two of them were good and three of them were not so good, you would be intuitively guided to follow the two that are good, and the three that are not good, you wouldn't even be interested in having anything to do with it. It would not be, you would not introspectively be listening to those three vibrations over here. They wouldn't turn you on. Hey, let's go and be mean to the world. Let's go break windows. Let's go do something bad, you know. It wouldn't turn you on. You wouldn't hear it. You wouldn't create those people doing those circumstances that were not beneficial to you. You wouldn't create that. You would only create what? You'd only create the truth, the love, the purity, the goodness, which is what you are. Because intuitively, you'd be guided. Introspectively, you'd be guided. Awareness-wise, you'd be guided to do that. And you wouldn't know you're being guided to do that. Because that's your nature. It's just your nature to be good. It's your nature to be loving. It's your nature to be thoughtful and kind and pure. Now, I said, and I say so often, we have 7 billion people on Earth, and 99% of these people are happy people, and 1%, which is hundreds of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, 1% are the unhappy ones. And they make the news, because the happy ones don't make the news. It's the unhappy ones who make the news. And so you read about them and say, gee, the world must be having problems. Gee, this thing must be pretty rough. Gee. But 99% are not having that experience. Herb, where did you get your figures of 99%? Oh, intuitively I know that. You know, intuitively I know that. So, yes, is that true? You betcha it's true. And you know it. How many hospitals are there in a city of, say, 6 million people? How many hospitals? Not very many. 10, 20, you know. Of 6 million people, well, how many people can a hospital hold? Not very many. you know, maybe 100, 500, you know, and you add these together, and that's 1% of the total population, you know. And how many people are having trouble going to prison and doing other things? Less than 1% for the whole bunch of them in the negative venue of life. And you see, this is what it's all about. Why were that 1% not intuitively listening to the divine within them, to the highest and best? Why weren't they listening? Well, they didn't have you for their mother. They didn't have somebody come along and say, my son is always right. My daughter always tells the truth. My children are the supercalifragilistic children of the world. Oh, come on now. I mean, your children never told a lie. Your children never stole money from your purse. Your children never took something that didn't belong to them. No. What do you mean? Money from my purse, something that didn't belong. Everything in this house belongs to all of us. I have the responsibility of taking charge of what's in my purse, that's all. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to all of us, but I'm supposed to keep account of it. And how we're going to utilize it, you know, that's all. I don't say that my children can't do this or can do that. I merely say, this is the way it is. And my children say, that's the way it is, that's fine with me. I'm glad I was born into this family. I'm glad that I was born into this community, this world, and this life. I'm glad, you see. And when that is the case, then what's happening? Then we are introspectively, intuitively, listening to what's within. Because as I want to tell you, and I want you to believe, and I want you to know, and you do already anyhow, all good and all bad is exactly the same thing. There's nothing wrong with all good. There's nothing wrong with all bad. Nothing wrong with it. It's just, hey, what's beneficial to you? Seville, you going to put your hand on that hot stove? No, it's not beneficial to you. I'm not going to put my hand on that hot stove. Well, what the heck, why not? You know, we have roasted hands, you know. I'm not going to put my hand on that hot stove. No way. It doesn't even come up in my conversation with myself. Why should it come up in my conversation with you? Well, it's coming up with my conversation with you because I'm being silly. You see? It's totally contrary to who I am. It's totally contrary to my introspective self. My introspective self knows if I put my hand on that hot stove, it's going to hurt, and I'm not going to feel very good about it. I know introspectively, if I do everything that my heart tells me to do, I'm going to be a happy person. I'm going to be so happy and so fulfilled and so surrounded by beautiful beings and so surrounded by beautiful circumstances and so surrounded by everything that's great and wonderful in life. I'm just going to feel so super. And that's true. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. But the thing, that's where it is at. That's what we are doing. We are intuitively being aware of ourselves. We're introspectively doing this all the time. And you don't associate with people, any of you, who are not like you. And I don't mean that they're better or worse than you are. You only associate with people who have your similar attitude toward life, have a similar ilk that you have toward what your values are. And again, it's not judging anybody, it's just, hey, I'm a fisherman. I like to go fishing, so I go fishing with my fishing buddies, you know. I don't go fishing with my hunting buddies because they want to hunt and they want to shoot their guns and they want to do this, and I have no interest in that. I'm interested in fishing, and I'm not really interested in catching the fish so much as I am just fly casting out in the river and just seeing how far I can get my fly to go and maybe it'll bring in a fish or something, but that's not the big thing. I'm standing there. What am I doing then? I'm introspectively, isn't this nature beautiful? Look at those lovely trees. And, oh, look at how the water ripples along in the river there. Oh, ooh, ooh, that feels so good, you know. And that's why you do it. You don't go fishing to feed the family. You don't need to. You spend more money on your fishing tackle and other thing than you'll ever get for the value of the fish that you bring home. But you're not fishing to fish. You're fishing to relax, to be out in nature, to have an excuse as why you should have an excuse. Now, Seville doesn't like to fish. She doesn't like to hunt. She doesn't like to hike. She doesn't like to do any of those things. But what she does like to do is to go out in nature. So, Seville, your grandma, she goes off to the hillside with her beautiful car. She parks it. She walks up the hill 10 feet. Not overexertion. She walks up the hill 10 feet, and she throws out her blanket, and she lays down, and she stares at the trees and the sky, and pretty soon she's staring at the stars. And she's just enjoying herself, and she says, "My goodness gracious, where did the time go?" She is in paradise. She is fishing. She is hunting. She is tramping through the woods. Or she is in paradise, lying on her blanket, enjoying nature all around her. Do you think any bugs would dare to come and crawl on her blanket? No. Do you think any mosquitoes would dare to come over and want to say, I think you'd make a good little picnic for me, you know? Do you think any deer or any bull would come along and look down at her and say, "Get out of here, what are you doing?" The bull would lay down next to her and say, "What do you see there? There must be something very nice. You have such a nice aura about you, such a nice attitude about you." But you see, that's your introspective time. You know? Does that fit you?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. It's just fine. And it fits a lot of people. A lot of people do that. But you don't know about them because they don't broadcast that they're going out to lay on the hillside and just relax. But they want to go to the club, or they want to go and play golf, and they're not playing golf. And what people do while they play golf is so silly. They're walking, and now they're taking golf carts and stuff, but they're walking, and they're going over the stuff. They're getting outdoors. And what do the masters do? Huh? What do the masters do? The master players of any game, golf for instance, the master player of golf, he takes his club and he swings it. Now, to take this club up here, the little thing, to hit this ball down here, you got to really be practiced on it mentally. And so he hits the ball. Now, where is that ball going to go? I mean, the club is strangely positioned, you know, when it's hitting that ball. Is the ball going to go this way or that way or what? Mentally, he says, "I'm going to put the ball over there. I'm going to put the ball over here." And he puts it there. He puts it right where he wants it to go. More golfers than we know golf with their mind. They put the ball where they're mentally thinking they're going to put it. And their club hits it at just the right way to put it there. And this is the beautiful thing. You, in your consciousness, you in your introspection, whatever you have as your introspective thought, that's what's going on in your mind. That's what's going on in your world. And that's all that matters to you, see? Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters to you whatsoever of anything that you're doing. Because when you introspectively train yourself to listen within, the magic of listening within happens. Where do you think Einstein got these fantastic ideas that made him so famous? He listened within. He listened, but he didn't understand what happened when he woke up and he had the theory of relativity. He had written it down in his sleep. He woke up and wrote it down and then went back to sleep. In the morning he woke up and he says, "What's this all about?" You know, it took him a while to think about it. And then he thought, "Oh yes, that's what I've been trying to figure out, the theory of relativity. That's what the theory of relativity is all about." Now, do you understand it? No. Does most of the world understand it? No. Does most of the world care about it? No. Is it important to Mr. Einstein? Yes, because it was fun. And what did Einstein say? People came along and said, "That's a lot of nonsense." He said, "Well, if you can prove it wrong, go for it. I proved it to my satisfaction. Now, if you can prove it different, go for it. It doesn't bother me. Work on it all you like. It's kind of charming, you know. It's kind of fun. But this is what it is all about. You are going to play your own game. You're going to do your own thing. And people are not going to agree with you all the time, because they're not on your wavelength. They're not listening to the same drummer you're listening to. They're not hearing that music, that beat within you that makes you act in the ways that you do. And this is what's so beautiful and so powerful and so wonderful. And it's what's going on in our world. That's what we want to always keep in mind for ourselves. Because that's where we are at. And that's what tells us exactly what's important. So, let's go on to our next step now.